blessing tonight. A lot of my favorite songs, and just really appreciate that. All right, we're going to be in Acts chapter 11 tonight. We're going to be finishing up Acts chapter 11 and getting ready to get into chapter 12, and so excited about that, and some great passages of Scripture to look forward to. And it would be easy almost to skip over. I mean, we've just got four verses left in Acts chapter 11. It's almost a comment, almost just a little bit of information there at the end of Acts chapter 11, but we just can't pass it. And as I was studying it and considering what's going on in our church right now, with our pastor being gone, with Brother Alexander being gone, and then being down at the Church Planters Conference, it just came to me just how appropriate this passage of Scripture is to what's actually happening in our church, and how we as a body are participating in the Church Planters Conference participating in home missions and church planting by our pastor and Brother Alexander being there. And of course, I don't want to discount what our church does actively every week as we give to missions, as we look forward to our missions conference coming up in April and what God's going to do in our hearts and lives there. You know, as we're giving each week or bi-weekly or monthly and all those kinds of things, we're actively participating in missions, or should be actively participating in giving and participating in the needs of not only our church, but in the churches throughout the kingdom of God. And we're going to look at that idea tonight. And so, you know, my first thought about a title is, you know, why is preacher at the Church Planters Conference? It was actually one of the titles I considered for the message. But really, the idea tonight that we're going to be looking at is determined giving. And with that idea, you know, why should people go? Why should people go beyond? I mean, certainly we've been commanded, but why should we participate in the ministry of other churches? Is that right that we should do that? You know, what does responsibility does Berean Baptist Church have within the kingdom of God? And I think we're going to find as we look at the text tonight that we do have a responsibility not only within the body of Christ, which is this New Testament church right here. This is the body assembled. This is Berean Baptist Church. We're not talking about any kind of universal thing like that. We're talking about a local New Testament assembly. When I say the word church, that's the only kind that there is. And so I don't like saying universal, or I definitely don't like saying even local church, because that's like saying wet water. It's redundant, and gives you the idea that there's other kinds of churches that exist out there aside from local churches. But there is certainly the concept of the kingdom of God is very clear throughout Scripture. There are other churches. There are other works of God that are taking place throughout the world, and no better way to see that in action and really in full view is by watching or attending the Church Planters Conference. I mean, you just see so many different churches there represented. And then with all the people that are visiting that are there to hopefully be able to present their works, there's that many more works that are taking place and participating in the gospel going out throughout the world. And it's just an amazing thing. But even where I want us to think about this idea. Is it okay for churches to cooperate? And that can even be a testy subject sometimes to some people. And even just the idea of fellowshipping with other churches and those types of things that sometimes people get real, you know, we're independent, independent, independent. And we only fellowship with other independent, independent, independent people. And those types of ideas can come into play. But I think we will find here that there is a very strong scriptural basis for churches to cooperate, for churches to participate within the kingdom of God cooperatively, for the kingdom of God to be advanced, for needs to be met, and all different kinds of things. There's great blessing in churches working together to advance the kingdom of God, because the kingdom of God is greater than Berean Baptist Church. And we have a responsibility as Berean Baptist Church within the kingdom of God. And it is very important. And so we should not be secluding ourselves from all other churches. We should not be secluding ourselves from every and for fellowshipping from anybody else. There's a lot of danger that comes into that type of concept. And that's outside of the scope of the message tonight. And I want to stay focused on what we're talking about. But I want us to wrap our heads around tonight that we, as Berean Baptist Church, have a responsibility within the kingdom of God. So with that being said, let's all stand and let's look at Acts chapter 11. And we'll begin reading in verse 27. Acts chapter 11 and verse 27. And it says this, "And in these days came prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch. And there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be great dearth throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples," and this is talking about the disciples there at the church in Antioch, "every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea, which also they did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul." And so let's ask God to bless the preaching of his word tonight. Lord, we thank you so much for the opportunity that we have to be assembled here. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for our church. We thank you for the kingdom of God. Lord, we thank you for those that are serving you around the United States, around the world, for our missionaries that we've sent out, our church planters that we have sent out, for other church planters and missionaries that other churches have sent out that we are able to participate in their ministries. Lord, I pray that you would help us to see the work that is going on around the world. I pray that you'd help us to see the work that is needs to take place right here in Springfield, Missouri. And I pray that you'd help us to get a vision for that and get a vision for how we must individually and corporately as a church participate not only in our church but in your kingdom. And I pray that you would help me as I preach tonight, give me the strength that I need, give each person here exactly what they need through your word and through the preaching of it. And I pray that you bless tonight, bless our pastor, bless Brother Alexander while they're gone. Lord, use them to be a great blessing to the churches that are there, to the other pastors, to the church planters. Help them to be a blessing, an encouragement, a support. And Lord, even bless them and encourage them and fire them up in seeing what's going on around the country as well. And just bring them back home safely to us. Just meet the needs of each one of the people that are assembled here. Even those listening on live stream, those that are sick, I pray that you please encourage them and just give us a great night tonight, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So we've read the text here, but to give better context to what we just read, because it is just kind of a very short snippet, and it's been a little while since I've preached. Last time it was back in November. We've had Christmas. We've had a New Year. A lot of people have been sick, had vacations. A lot of things have gone on. I pretty much hit all those boxes as well. So it's even good for me just to remember and get a recap of the previous message, because I think it'll add some good context to what's going on and what's taking place within the passage tonight. So just as a reminder, Antioch was located about 450 miles away from Jerusalem. So they were near the northeast corner of the Mediterranean Sea. So if you imagine how if you think about Europe being over here, and then the Mediterranean Sea kind of curves around, and Jerusalem's is kind of over here on this kind of flat side of the Mediterranean Sea, kind of up here in the corner, it almost makes a right angle. Up here is Antioch, and that's where these events are taking place. And within Antioch, it was the third largest city in the Roman Empire. So this was a very big, this was a very powerful city. It was very metropolitan. It was very diverse in its population. Jews had traveled to this area. Christians had traveled to this area as a result of the persecution that had taken place in Jerusalem. And it says in earlier in chapter 11 that a great number believed and turned to the Lord. So many people, after they began to hear the preaching of God's word, began to hear the gospel, Jews and Gentiles alike were being saved in this area. And though it was very far away from Jerusalem, the church at Jerusalem and the disciples there at Jerusalem heard the news of what was taking place in Antioch and sent Barnabas as a delegate. That's why we find Barnabas there. He's been sent by the church at Jerusalem to minister to this new church that's getting started there in Antioch, where a lot of things are taking place. Now, rather than Barnabas going and getting somebody else from Jerusalem to help him, once he saw that what was going on, there was a disciple that he already knew of, that he had already taken an interest in, that he had already helped some, and that was in the area already, and that was a man named Saul, who we'll obviously find a lot more about as in the upcoming chapters in Acts. But he goes to Tarsus, where Saul was sent after he was in Jerusalem for a very brief time, and gets him. He finds him there in Tarsus and brings him to Antioch. And in verse 26 it says, "And when he had found him," talking about Saul, this is Barnabas had found Saul, "he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves within the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch." And so we looked at that idea of Christians and the characteristics of a Christian last time as we studied and looked at that. But now we're going to see that the church that's there in Antioch gets more visitors from Jerusalem, as it turns out. And these are a delegation of prophets that come from Jerusalem to Antioch. So we see here that the church at Jerusalem is investing in this church in Antioch. They're sending people, they're sending resources. Certainly the church there at Antioch is doing a great work. Saul is and Barnabas are both teaching. People are being saved. God's work is going. But we need encouragement. We need support. We need preaching. Preachers need preaching. That's why we have guest preachers come in here and preach. It's not just for our own edification, but it's also for our pastor's edification, for him to hear preaching. You can't always just be putting out. You also need to have preaching. You need to have the Word of God step on your toes. You need to have other ideas. You need to hear other things. You need to hear it from other people. And so they were getting that from these prophets coming to Antioch. And one of them, none of the other are mentioned who they are, but one of this, the men named Agabus. Now, we would say Agabus if you're from Springfield, Missouri. I really want to say Agabus, but it's those two A's are Oz, so it's Agabus. And so I'll do my best to try to say that. I may go to Agabus at some point, but anyhow, either one I say, you'll know who we're talking about. It's a guy in the text. It's a prophet here. And one thing that's interesting that I won't spend a lot of time on, but there is a ministry of prophecy that is taking place in the New Testament. The prophets, very similar to the ministry in the Old Testament, that ministry is not done yet at this point in Acts. That, you know, it says, whether there be prophecies, they shall cease. Well, they hadn't got to that point yet. And so there was actual prophecy, thus saith the Lord, filled by the Spirit, talking about events that would come and that would take place in the future. And Agabus was one of these people who prophesied there to the church in Antioch. And what did he prophesy about? Well, he was prophesying about the fact that there was going to be a great famine that would affect the whole world. And it was going to be something that was very serious that was going to take place in the future. Now, and in fact, Luke goes on and gives us a note here associated with this prophecy. And he says, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. So he said, not only was it prophesied about, it exactly happened, just like Agabus said. He was a true prophet, speaking, thus saith the Lord. Prophets who say, thus saith the Lord, those events come to pass. If a prophet says something's going to happen and it doesn't come to pass, guess what? God didn't say it. Some other spirit may have said it. That person may have said it. But boy, I know even growing up in church, I've heard prophets, so-called, prophesy all kinds of things that didn't end up happening. Like a lot of different times about the rapture. and all different kinds of things like that. You know, so we've got to be careful what prophets we listen to, and we need to try those prophecies. But certainly, Agabus' prophecy was through the Spirit and did come to pass. And it says there in the days of Claudius Caesar. And this famine came, I'm just going to read a note about this. This famine came during the days of Claudius, who was Caesar of Rome, just to kind of give context of the time frame that this is happening. He was Caesar from 41 AD to 54 AD. And he was the nephew of Tiberius Caesar. And so Agabus' prediction of the famine points to one of the prominent events in his reign. So that really, what ended up happening during Claudius's reign was mostly famine. It wasn't necessarily his fault, but sometimes politicians get dealt a bad hand, some from the Lord or just from the events that happen outside their control. And these are certainly events outside of his control. So it had hit in the first, second, fourth, ninth, and 11 years of his reign. And this was sporadic empire-wide famine that was taking place. And Josephus actually references a famine in Judea in AD 44 to AD 48. And so that kind of gives a bracket of time when this actually took place. And so just based on the some other events that take place later in Acts that we'll find, it puts the prophecy somewhere around 39 AD to 42 AD when Agabus actually made this prophecy versus when it actually came to pass. So this was several years. There was a time span that was going to take place prior to these events taking place. And the disciples discerned through this prophecy. You know, we don't see any other context around this aside from this prophecy, but they discerned that the church that was at Jerusalem would need help. And I think one of the reasons why they understood that the church at Jerusalem would need help during the famine is because the church at Jerusalem likely already needed help. And that the famine was only going to further exacerbate their need of help and the need for relief to be sent to them. And arguably, the scripture doesn't give a lot of color to this, but based on the town, based on the locality and the trade that was taking place, it was very likely that many of the people there would have had means or more substantial means in the church there in Jerusalem. And not only did they decide, they performed the actual collection of the relief, and when they collected the relief, they sent it by Barnabas and Saul to the elders, or to the leaders at the church. They're the pastors that were at the church of Jerusalem. They delivered the relief. So they didn't just say, boy, this is a great need. We should do something about it. Boy, that's great. Let's pat ourselves on the back. We decided we should do something about it. No, they actually did it. They collected the money. They got it together. And they didn't just collect it and set it on the shelf somewhere. They actually gave it to Barnabas and Saul and had them take it to them so they could get the relief, so they could get the money, the funds that they would need to help them be able to weather this famine that was coming. And so tonight, as we consider this passage and the things that are taking place here, I think there's many applications that we can draw as a church in 2023, as a church that is established, as a church that has been around for a great period of time, over 50 years. We all still need instruction. We all still need to participate. You know, if you listen to the church planners and how they're presenting their works and the things that they're doing and some of the places that they're going and the things that go on, it should be humbling. It was certainly humbling to me. Say, what am I doing? What am I doing to participate in advancing the kingdom of God? I mean, literally, one of the guys that was there presenting his work, and sometimes Heartland gets beat up a lot of times. Heartland gets a bad rap sometimes, that they're very, you know, it's only Heartland people or no other people and all these kinds of things. And that's just false. I mean, the man that was presenting his work, he had never been there before. Nobody knew who this guy was. he was just an independent Baptist who was trying to do a work of God? Was he just like a Heartland graduate? Probably not. But he was trying to do a work of God, and people rallied around him. One particular gentleman I'm thinking about, you know, his son got a gun pulled on him while he was just handing out tracts. Not only did he get a gun pulled on him, the guy fired a round right beside his head because the kid told him he wasn't afraid to die because he knew he was saved. And he said, "How about you?" And this kid didn't quit. The dad went. The dad heard what happened and was running. And where was he? Did he find his son? He wasn't cowering in a corner. He was knocking on the next door. He's like, "Dad, people need to get saved." And that is just so crazily convicting to me about how determined am I to knock doors, to see people saved here in Springfield, Missouri. What am I doing to participate in the kingdom of God here, to see souls saved? You know, we expect that of church planters. Boy, they need to get out there and knock doors. They need to grow their church. But we think because we're Berean Baptist Church, we can rest on our laurels and just say, hang on to what we've got and just try to keep going. That's not going to cut it. You know, one thing that I have found to be true in multiple aspects of life, any time that you try to just maintain, you're always falling behind. I can't think of how many basketball games I played in. And I apologize, I played basketball from when I was 5 till I was a sophomore in college. So I've got a lot of experience playing basketball. It was a very formative years of my life. It was a big part of my life during that time. And one thing that would happen many, many times in a game, you get a 20-point lead. And you're like, "Guys, we got a 20-point lead. It's third quarter. We're right in the middle. I'm just kind of starting the third quarter. We've got third quarter, fourth quarter. We just got to hang on to this lead." Any time that we would try to hang on to that 20-point lead, the 20-point lead evaporated just like that. And we'd be looking around, what just happened? We're behind by 5 now. And in business, it's the exact same thing. Well, we're just going to try to, we're happy where we're at. We're just going to have organic, sustained, very stable growth, and we're not going to market like we used to. You know, we've got a base, and they don't try to build their base. Very successful companies just evaporate just like that because they're not trying to grow. They're not trying to expand. And I know those are two very bad secular examples, but I think there is a truth that is very true, that if we are satisfied as Berean Baptist Church, that we are not trying to grow, if we are not trying to go as God has commanded us to, we aren't maintaining. We're actually falling behind. And at some point, the danger is we could look around and say, what happened to Berean Baptist Church? You know, Berean Baptist Church used to be a great church. They've got great facilities. They've got a great building. They've got all these things, and there's 6 people in there. And they're trying to just hold on. And I've unfortunately visited churches that are an absolute shell of what you go into it. They have incredible facilities. Property, like you cannot believe. Buildings, infrastructure, buses. And you go in and it's like, boy, this is going to be good. And then you drive into the parking lot, and they're like, where is it? Are they having church today? And I was like, yeah. And the door squeaks open in the back, and you walk into this cavern of a room, and it shuts behind you. And they're just kind of sauntering around there, trying to scrape it together to get this church service going, to have another church to check the box. And I think that should be a very cautionary tale for us, that we have a responsibility within the kingdom of God, that we have a responsibility at Berean Baptist Church, not to maintain, but we need to have a vision of how we move forward. And there's some things here that I find that the church in Antioch was doing as they were growing that we need to find ourselves doing. And the first thing I see, that no matter where a church finds itself, whether that be financially, numerically, politically, spiritually, it has a job to do. Berean Baptist Church has a job to do. You know, let's look at the church at Jerusalem for just a second. The church at Jerusalem had been decimated. They had lost many of their members. There were thousands of people that had been saved, as we have learned earlier in Acts. But now that church had all but evaporated. It says really only practically the apostles were the ones left. Now we know there's more because Barnabas was there. We know there's these prophets there. But there's just a core of people. The vast majority have left. And you could say they would need every single person they would have to carry on the ministry in Jerusalem, an important first church that had been started there, the church started by Jesus Christ during his earthly ministry. But yet, what did we find them doing? They sent Barnabas, they sent Agabus, they sent other prophets out. And then we look at the church at Antioch for a second. They were growing. They were becoming the new kind of primary hub for the ministry that was taking place, that was going to reach and evangelize the rest of the world. And you can make a very strong argument and say, well, to do that, they need all the resources financially they could possibly have to be able to hope to try to build the infrastructure, to be able to send the people, to be able to provide, that they would need to focus on themselves. But in both cases, we don't find that that's what either church was doing. And from that, what I see is we as a church, and really churches across the country, but this is the only church that I'm preaching to right now, so I'm not preaching to all churches across the world. Our live stream doesn't have that kind of reach, and Ben Forrester, who is that guy? But I can preach to us tonight, and we have a church, as a church, a responsibility to give beyond our church. We have a responsibility to give so that the kingdom of God is expanded, so that other brothers and sisters in Christ throughout the country and around the world are blessed and are ministered to and are provided for. And I thank God as Berean Baptist Church, we do that. But I also don't want us to lose sight of that. And I also don't want individuals within Berean Baptist Church to lose sight of that just because we as a church corporately do these things, that excludes any individual from participating individually. And we'll get to that in just one moment. But as I also consider our responsibility to expand the kingdom of God around the world, I think it that much more so emphasizes our responsibility to our own brothers and sisters in Christ within our membership, and how we must care for the needs of others within our church, and also must care for the needs of the souls that are within Springfield, Missouri. You know, just because we're giving to the needs of Poplar Bluff or Western Australia or Vellore, Albania or Whitehorse, Canada, that doesn't give us some sort of free pass to say that we're off the hook here in Springfield. And we can write as many checks as you want. You can give as much as you want. But we each individually have a responsibility here in Springfield, Missouri, to see souls saved. It is a concerning metric for a church that isn't seeing souls walk the aisle and trust Christ as their Savior and added to our membership. If that does not bother you, if that does not trouble you, if that's not something that's on your heart, you need to ask God to break your heart, because we need to see souls saved in Springfield. We don't need to just collect disgruntled members from some other church and bring them over here. There are souls throughout, and people that leave that are saved, if they find someplace else that they can get plugged in and serve God, I say, God bless them. If this is where they don't want to be, then they don't need to be here. But at the same time, we have such a great responsibility. There are many souls that don't go to church anywhere. There are so many souls that have not ever heard the gospel in any kind of clear fashion at all. And we have a responsibility to those people to see them saved. And the second thing we find is that no matter where an individual finds themselves, financially or physically, they still have a job to do as well. You know, in verse 29 it says, "Then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea." And there's just these words that just jumped out at me that I highlighted. And one is disciples. So these are people who are true followers of Jesus Christ. They are wanting to be like Christ. But then we see every man. And that's not just every man, but that's every person. But then also, there's also an important part of that, according to their ability. So God doesn't have an expectation that we all are supposed to do the same thing. We all can't do the same thing. I found very quickly there's things 5 years ago I used to be able to do that I can't do anymore. And there's some of you that recognize there's some things that you could do 40 years ago that you definitely can't do now. And we all have different situations financially, physically. But just because age, you know, we may think because I'm 10 years old or I'm 15 years old, I can't do anything to serve God, or I'm excluded from the ministry of Berean Baptist Church. That is false. Every single one of us, and that means every single person that's a member of Berean Baptist Church, this is not time for you to turn your switch off. That means it includes you. Whether you're awake or not, you don't realize it, it includes you. We must participate. You know, we can't compare our service to somebody else's service. God doesn't ask us to do that. He doesn't expect us to do that. He doesn't want us to do that. But we can analyze ourselves and see, am I serving to my ability? That's what he's asking us to do. You know your ability better than anybody else, except God. And are you serving with the ability that God has given you? Are you praying with the ability? Are you witnessing with the ability? Are you giving with the ability that God gives you? There's an expectation every single one of us must, it says every, but according to his ability. So they all didn't have to give $1 million. They just had to give according to their ability. And then finally, they determined. And if we are going to serve, we must decide. First, a decision has to be made. You know, I wonder if there's someone here. There's probably some people that have already decided, I'm not going to serve. That's possible. I've been there before. I was like, I'm not going to do that. I don't have time to do that. I don't have the interest. I don't think I'm good at it. I don't think I want to do that. But would we determine that I do want to serve? And I do want to participate to the very best of my ability. And I just want to encourage you tonight, would you determine tonight to participate in the work of the Lord according to your ability? And then next, you know, we cannot neglect the financial element of this passage either. The primary thought of this passage is the financial element of it. They were giving financial relief to the church, the disciples, the believers that were there in Judea. That's what was taking place. And I just love the timing of this with Pastor and Brother Alexander being gone and then being at the Church Planters Conference. You know, our church and churches across the country are participating in churches across the country to see the gospel spread across the United States. And how are they primarily making that happen? Is by giving financially. It takes a lot of money to plant a church, to have a building, to have tracts, to have advertising, to have all those things, to have that person who is called to that location be able to physically live there and provide for their family and the needs of the church that is there. And many times the pastor or the family has to shoulder much of that burden as they're getting a church off the ground, as people are finally trying to get enough people scraped together and get them on board to start giving, to start supporting the work that needs to take place. And we're the beneficiaries of that. We don't have to support Brother Mallard all by ourselves. In fact, churches across the United States gave $21,055 to Brother Mallard and Liberty Baptist Church to help with the needs. And that'll pay for a lot of rent for a lot of time. And not only that, churches pledged over $1,000 of monthly support, which that in and of itself will almost cover the rent, which is their one primary major expense that they have there. And we have then, in turn, been able to give thousands of dollars to church planters across the country so that we have investments in Colorado, we have investments in the Northwest, in the East, and all across the world. I'm sure Preacher will give us a report of all the different places where our money is going to go. But are you individually participating in it? It's a wonderful thing that we as a church are. But I don't want you to miss out on the blessing that it is to give. It is so much more blessed to give than to receive. And I've been on both ends of it. I've been in some times where I have needed to be a recipient of some giving. And I'm very thankful to it when I have been that recipient and have been blessed anonymously and unknown sometimes when I've had a need. That is a tremendous blessing if you've ever been there and been the recipient of that. But I tell you, it is a far greater blessing when you're on the other end, when you're able to bless and to give, to be a blessing to someone else. But so much more so to see the gospel go out, that souls can be saved, their eternal destinies can be changed through our money. That is an amazing thing that no member of Berean Baptist Church should miss out on. There's no place I can find in Scripture where it says, boy, it's a good idea to be stingy. It's a good idea to keep every single nickel that you've ever found, that there's anything like that. But I see Scripture after Scripture about how blessed it is to give, how those who give are blessed, how God wants us to bless. We see this example right here. And wouldn't now be a good time, if this is an area that you struggle with, to start giving to the Lord's work? And then finally tonight, not only did the church at Antioch discern the need and decide to participate, but they actually did it. They were the answer to the need. They determined to give, they gave and collected the money, and they sent it by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. But tonight, I want to ask you the question, is there something that you need to do? I'm not asking for a show of hand and people to start standing up and saying what that is, but is there something that God's been dealing with you about that you know you're supposed to do, that you decided that you know it's right? You know it's something that you need to do. God has already convicted you about it, but you just haven't done it. That coworker that maybe needs to be witnessed to, that tract that needs to be handed out, that decision to come when outreach takes place, or even just to take it upon yourself to reach out to your neighborhood and start inviting people to church or talking to them about the Lord. Whatever the case may be, or it may be that God has been speaking to your heart about salvation time after time after time after time, and you decided that that's what you should do. But when are you going to trust him? There needs to be a doing of it. You know, it's great to recognize the need, but it is completely worthless if you don't actually follow through and do it. So tonight, the needs of the kingdom of God extend beyond Berean Baptist Church. That's why Preacher and Brother Tim are gone tonight. There is support to be given. There are pastors that need to be encouraged. There is work to be done here in the United States as well as around the world. And each disciple of Jesus Christ within Berean Baptist Church has a responsibility. If you're a member of Berean Baptist Church, I'm talking to you tonight. Nobody can exclude themselves for whatever reason you can think of. What you may be calculating in your mind right now, this doesn't apply. No, it does. If you're a member of Berean Baptist Church, we are called to serve. There's a purpose. It is not just to have our name on a roll to fill a pew. We have an active role, and every single one of us are a vital member to participate within Berean Baptist Church. And as we discover needs, let us determine to be involved according to our ability and then perform the doing of it. Let's look over at 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and we'll close tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. You know, the church at Corinth got really fired up about a need. They saw the need. They were determined to do it. And guess what? They didn't. They didn't do the most important part, the doing. But thankfully, they had the Apostle Paul to give them a not-so-subtle reminder here in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 8. And he says this, "I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. And herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you, who have begun before not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. Now perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have." Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for your word tonight. Lord, I pray that we would be challenged, that we'd be encouraged, that we'd be exhorted to participate in your church and in your kingdom. Lord, I pray that you would speak to the hearts of each member of Berean Baptist Church, that we would be obedient to your word and to your will, that you would work in Berean Baptist Church so we can go forward to reach many souls for you. I pray that your perfect will be accomplished in the invitation tonight, and we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand as we have a hymn of invitation. This is just your opportunity. If you need to come talk to God about something tonight, if there's something he's convicted you about that you've determined to do,